22. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds and songs of joy. You may be seated.
Good morning. What a blessing it is to be able to be here with you. Thankful to have Ricky and Kim with us and the opportunity we had to listen and be encouraged from the good things that are going on at New Pathways and our partnership and help with that work for so many years and continuing into the future. We're thankful for the good work. They're now housing 18 children that are being served by New Pathways in the church. To be blessed and be raised in a Christian environment, to come to know the Lord, which is so very important. And we give thanks for that. That leads us to our topic, Thanksgiving, which is what many of you are going to be thinking about this week. Thinking about preparing for that Thanksgiving meal, thinking about family coming in, thinking about enjoying all the blessings that God has given us. Edward Spencer was a swimmer for Northwestern University. Back in 1860, there was a boat that capsized, and some 279 people on this steamboat went into the water. And Edward Spencer is going to swim out into the water. And he's going to tow each one, hand by hand, 17 individuals to safety on Lake Michigan. He did this numerous times, 17 times back and forth, so much so in such a distance of swimming that he had to make that he worked to the point of exhaustion. In fact, he damaged his nerves in his legs so that it later caused him to be handicapped and not be able to walk properly and be often confined to a wheelchair. When he was in his 80s, remember he was in college when all this happened in 1860. When he was in his 80s, he was asked on his 80th birthday, what do you recall from that event that so shaped your life? His answer was that not one of the 17 would later return to thank me for that sacrifice I made. Isn't it something? We think, how could they not return? Say thank you for saving my life, to appreciate the sacrifice he made and the cost that it was to his life and the rest of his days on earth. But isn't it true that you and I can be like sometimes those 17, just like the story that Jesus said when they did not return to give Christ thanks for healing them, when he said, where are the 9 that were healed and didn't return to say thank you and only one came back? You see, we need to remember that Thanksgiving does not come naturally. It must be intentional. In the Old Testament, you can look back, and in the law, there was something called the Thanksgiving offering. It is prescribed for the children of Israel in Leviticus chapter 7. And it involved bringing an animal as well as loaves and grain offerings to the Lord. And these were part of the Old Testament law, which were considered free will offerings. What's a free will offering? It's one that is not made by compulsion. It's not made by regular, you got to do this every day, every week, every Sabbath day, or once a year. It's a free will offering. In other words, whenever you are overcome with thanksgiving, then you go to the priest and offer this thanksgiving offering. The Bible would talk about that in Leviticus 22. And it mentions that as well in Psalm. For example, Psalm 107, verse 22 says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Psalm 116, verse 17, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a sacrifice. It doesn't come naturally. We have to intentionally choose to make a sacrifice, a free will offering to God, to say, God, I am thankful. I am grateful. I appreciate what you have given me, Lord. But not only to the Lord, but also to others, to stop and give honor to those who honor is due. There's one of the most famous psalms of thanksgiving was Psalm 100. And I want to read that psalm and draw some of our lessons from this psalm. And in this psalm, it is given the title in Hebrew, Toda, not Torah, but Toda. Now, that's not a character from some movie, but in the Hebrew, it means and refers to a confession, an acknowledgement. It is the idea that you are acknowledging, you are confessing that you are thankful, that you are grateful. Many of your Bibles might have it as a titled, a psalm for giving thanks. It's a psalm for confessing thanksgiving. I want to read the entire psalm. It's only five verses, and we'll draw some thoughts from it and from the New Testament as well. The Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. It is thought by commentators that this psalm was used when worshipers were going up to the temple, traveling to Jerusalem, or going into the temple to offer their thanksgiving offerings. It's just like we are going to have a Thanksgiving devotional on Wednesday night as we do each year. And we'll have numerous songs that talk about thanking the Lord, counting our many blessings, or thank you, Lord, and all these various songs. This was the Jewish song that they sung to give God thanks as they were offering their thanksgiving offerings. And so they're singing this song. They're coming into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates. You see this idea of going into the temple? Entering into the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. What a beautiful song to think about worshipers carrying their sacrifice. And maybe a group of them who've been blessed from an abundant harvest. Or maybe they were blessed with their first child that year. Or maybe they were blessed with a man and a woman being able to be married that year, and it's their first Thanksgiving together. And they think, I'm going to go up to the temple where they're singing this song. Or maybe generations of family going up together and they're singing this psalm, carrying their offering to give it to God. When we think about this psalm, and we think about how we need to have such an attitude as these ancient Hebrews did as well, then what attitudes does this psalm talk about? What attitudes does the Bible talk about that needs to be in our lives so that we're not like the 17 people who didn't return to say thanks? So we're not like many people out here in our world today who really don't connect Thanksgiving with God, but connect Thanksgiving with football and turkey. We need to understand that there's a lot more than just the celebration in a cultural sense. But this is a spiritual activity that we should be involved in year around. That this is a sacrifice that we should be wanting to make. And so these attitudes have to be present. The first attitude that needs to be present, if we're going to have Thanksgiving and make an offering to the Lord, is an attitude of joy and gladness. An attitude of thankfulness. Notice in the first verse it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. It was a free will offering. It was given out of joy, given out of gratefulness, not out of compulsion. We are told throughout the Bible that we are to be joyful. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul is going to talk about joy all throughout this epistle. And in verse number 4, he says, rejoice, of chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Have joy. Paul's writing that from prison. He's suffering, but he's still thankful. He's still rejoicing. And notice he connects that joy, verse 6, in with praying prayers of thanksgiving. One of the greatest attitudes that must be present in our life if we're going to be thankful is we've got to be joyful. We've got to understand that if I'm not joyful and if I don't recognize my joy, then I'm not going to be thankful for all those blessings that give me that joy. Joyfulness for our salvation. I believe that God created us to find joy and purpose in Him. To find a true, not just the happiness that the world wants to talk about with pleasure, but to find this deep inner joy of peace and comfort that we have in Christ. That should cause us to be thankful. In John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus writes to speaks to His apostles and says, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you." And listen to this. "And that your joy may be full." That your joy may be full. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, Paul has been talking about giving and how we handle the possessions of this life. And he says that, "I want you to have all these things, to enjoy them, to use them." And he's talking about giving and sharing. And he says, "God has richly blessed you with these things so that you can enjoy life and use these things for God's service." We've been given these things so that we can enjoy them. You know, things must not be where our hope and our heart is set. But if we have our hope and our heart set, as Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6, we're putting those treasures up in heaven, then we can appropriately enjoy the blessings and the bounty of this world. If we put our heart in this world's things, then really the things become to us an idol, and we become a slave to the things. But if we keep the things in the proper perspective and realize those are blessings from God and that we can enjoy them and use them in a proper way, and that we see that joy of our salvation, the joy of our relationship with God is primary, and then we can be blessed from the physical blessings God has given us, then that all proceeds to us having joy and us being thankful. See the difference in that attitude? One says that I just want to gather all this physical stuff up, and that's where I'm going to get my joy. The other says, I'm going to find my joy in God. And when God has blessed me with things, then I'm going to be thankful for that. I'm going to be thankful for that. You see, an attitude that must be in our heart if we're going to be thankful is gladness and joy. Gladness and joy. It was not a terrible, awful, miserable thing to do to go up to the temple and offer your thanksgiving offering. No, the psalm says, let us go up with joy. Let us go up with gladness. Let us be thankful because of that joy and gladness in our heart. A second attitude, though, that we need to have is humility. That is that if we're really going to be thankful, then we must have the attitude of humility. In verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 100, the Bible says, "Knowing that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." We must recognize that He is the Creator. He is the sustainer of life. In James chapter 1, verse 17, He is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. It's very important for us to realize that if we're going to be thankful, we first got to come back to we don't deserve anything that we've been given. That we need to understand that our talents, our resources, our family, our friends, all the blessings, our nation, so many of the things that we have, we don't deserve, but we've been blessed with that He, as our Creator, has bestowed these things upon us. You know, when you listen to Ricky's presentation, you think about all across just our state of Kentucky, how many children are born into situations where they are suffering, where they are abused, neglected. They're not prized and cherished as a child should be. And you think about, for so many of us, our lives have been so different than that. It needs to be a level of humility, of understanding that so many of the blessings that we've had are not from our own earning, our own deserving, but have been bestowed upon us by God and by other people. And there needs to be a level of humility there that says, I'm not going to be prideful and look, and just count all my many blessings of look at all that I've done, and I'll say thanks for all those things, but of realizing that I want to be grateful and appreciative because I'm humble. And I know that I do not deserve so many, all of the things that I've been blessed with. You see, the attitude of humility should cause us to be thankful. I heard a little story about a little girl who came from a Christian family, and she was eating with some friends at their family. And when they sat down at the table, they just all dove into the food. And the little girl wasn't ready to do that. She thought, we got to have a prayer before you can eat, because at her house, you couldn't just dive into the food. You were supposed to have a prayer first. And the little girl looked up, and when everybody else was eating, she said, well, y'all just like my puppy. Y'all just dive right in. You know, how many times when it comes to not just our food, I'm not trying to be legalistic and saying don't ever eat food without having a prayer, but how many times do we treat the blessings of God like that? We just dive right in to whatever God has given us, whatever, you know, all the physical blessings and even the family blessings and other, we just dive right into them without ever stopping and pausing and giving God thanks. You know, that's animalistic. That's what animals do. We have a lot of animals out on the farm, and we joke about this from time to time. You know, they're needing hay now, and I looked out and said, well, we got to give them another round bale. But they never stop and give us any kind of appreciation for that. That you got to watch it. They'll run right over you trying to get to it. They don't care. They don't, you know, sometimes we need to understand that it is animals who don't stop and say thank you. And God is saying, don't be animalistic. Don't be like the animals. You're higher in your intelligence and in your behavior, and you should stop and say thank you. Stop and say thank you. Don't just dive right in. Don't just dive right into the blessings of God. We've got to be humble. And so thankfulness is about honoring those who deserve honor, giving appreciation to those who deserve appreciation. When I was thinking this morning about Ricky's presentation, and if you were in class, he had a couple extra minutes. And you know, Ricky, don't ever give another preacher a couple extra minutes there. But I had to stop him and took his microphone, and I wanted to make sure he knew and his wife knew that we appreciate the work that they do. And we recognize that if it was not for their hard work and the work that they do, not a 9-to-5 job at all, but all the time, of really adopting in these kids and the work of his staff and others that have done, and the work that his father and mother did in helping save New Pathways, that it wouldn't be here. Everybody needs and wants to be appreciated. That's what Thanksgiving is. It's stopping and appreciating those that you need to appreciate. It's honoring those who need to be honored. Everyone needs appreciation. Everyone wants to be thanked for what they're doing and to be recognized for what they're doing. And in so many ways in our culture, we all will often think that it is a lowering of yourself to say thanks. You know, you have to work with kids on this. Sometimes it's hard to get kids to say thank you. And it's like, I don't want to give them that. You know, I'm just not quite ready to let that out. And sometimes we as adults can be like that too. It's like, I don't know if I want to tell my boss thank you. I don't know if I want to tell my employee thank you. I don't know if I want to tell someone at church thank you for what they did. And it's like that. There's that friction or social tension sometimes there. Why is that? It's not a lowering of yourself in any way to tell someone thank you. It is an exalting of the other person. It's a raising of yourself as well to a higher level of living. The lower level is like the animals. The higher level of living is saying, I'm humble, and I'm only here because of others. And I appreciate others, and I appreciate God and what God has given me. That is the exalted person who's willing to exalt others and realize it's not pushing himself down when he says thank you to others. The attitude that needs to be there. And then the third attitude that naturally follows this one is generosity. Ricky talked about this, of course, in thinking about how so many Christians have helped support New Pathways through the years and how they are totally dependent upon the funds. And when we think about the church and thanksgiving, we need to understand that an attitude that should flow out of thanksgiving and cause thanksgiving is generosity. That they are really connected. In fact, in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, our Lord said it's more blessed to give than receive. In the early church of Acts chapter 2, they had everything in common. They were sharing their meals together. They were giving to one another and providing for the needs of those who had wants. You see, there is a giving and sharing that comes because of thanksgiving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, Paul is going to talk about the need for generosity. And he speaks about the Macedonian brethren in verse 2, who had gone through extreme poverty, but yet this had overflowed in the wealth of their generosity. And as you go through these chapters, chapters 8 and 9, which are dealing with the collection that Paul is making, it's interesting how many times the concept of thanksgiving comes up. For example, in chapter 8, verse 16, give thanks to God. In verse number 24, he talks about them showing the proof of their love. In chapter 9, verse number 7, he says, God loves a cheerful giver, joy and giving. And then down in the end of chapter 9, when he's bringing this to a close, he says in verse number 11, for you will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us, what is generosity going to produce? Thanksgiving to God. And then he talks about, this is going, verse 12, going to overflow in many thanksgivings to God. He talks all throughout about how generosity is connected to us being thankful. Let me just say this. I heard this quote this week in a book I was reading. And it said, the world, for Christians, the world is not impressed that you give thanks this week. Think about that. The rest of the world, in many ways, is giving thanks. The world is impressed that you are humble and generous in your thanksgiving. You see, the world is, everybody in the world says, in most ways, has some level of thanksgiving. But Christians take it to a different level. We say we are so blessed that we are blessed by God. Therefore, we have a need, a compulsion to share with others. It's more blessed to give than receive. Thanksgiving says, I've received, therefore I am going to give. Generosity is a necessary attitude in a Christian's thanksgiving. We need to be generous. You know, there are so many poor people around us, and the test of poor people is not their test. It's not how they handle it. That's for them, between them and the Lord. The test of poor people is how we handle the poor. That's our test. Are we going to be generous to those who God commands us to be generous to? I read a quote as well that I want to read from Robert Murray McShaney, a Scottish preacher in 1843. And he wrote this. He says, I am concerned for the poor, but more for you. I know not what Christ will say to you in that great day. I fear there are many hearing me who may know well they are not Christians, because they do not love to give. To give largely and liberally, not grudgingly at all, requires a new heart. An old heart would rather part with its lifeblood than its money. Oh, my friends, enjoy your money. Make the most of it. Give none away. Enjoy it quickly, for I can tell you, you will be beggars throughout all eternity. He put it real straight, didn't he? We have a responsibility of thinking about the poor. And so if we gather for our Thanksgiving and if we are intentional in our sacrifice of Thanksgiving, the attitude we should have is generosity. I've been blessed, so I want to bless others. And then in the final thought on our attitude, it is the valuing of truly important things in Psalm 100 that is emphasized. And that is this attitude that we're not going to just be superficial or surface-oriented in our thanksgiving. But in verse 4 and 5, he says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good." And here's the reason we should give thanks. "For his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness, his truth, to all generations." What I mean by valuing the truly important things is we need to recognize that thanksgiving is more than just physical blessings. It is. You know, we look around our tables, we look around our homes, we look around in our cars, we look around all the blessings we have, and we count those blessings. But brethren, as Christians, we got to stop, and we got to realize that I'm thankful for those things. And the Lord promised us that he would provide us with our necessities, and we're grateful for that. But our greatest valuable possessions is the treasure we have in Christ. It's the salvation we have in Jesus. It's the family of God that we get to be a part of. It's the Word of God we get to read. It's the honor of being called a Christian and being able to be used for the name of Christ in this dark world to be a light in darkness and to know that we have the promise of eternity in heaven. That is really what's worth giving thanksgiving for. Don't be just like everybody else out in the world and list off your thanksgiving on the things you can see. Your blessings of thanksgiving go deeper than just what you see. Be thankful for the things that really value, because all those things you see can be stripped away and taken from you. But the things that are really valuable, you'll never lose. Satan can't take them from you. The world can't take them from you. They are promised to you by your Heavenly Father. Only you could turn your back upon those things. Those are the things that truly matter. His mercy is everlasting. He is good. His truth, his faithfulness is going to always be there for us. It endures to all generations. Those are things that are worth praising. And so, go deeper in your thanksgiving. That's an attitude we ought to have. That we're going deeper than just looking at the superficial. And so what attitudes are in your heart this Thanksgiving? What type of attitudes cause you to say, "I want to give thanks," not just this week, but throughout the whole year? There should be an attitude of joy and gladness, an attitude of humility that says, "I don't deserve what I've been given," an attitude of generosity that says, "I want to share with others because I've been blessed," and an attitude that says, "My blessings are deeper than just what I see." Heard a story about a man who had come in from a long day's work, and his wife had had a hard day of work too. And she set out a meal, and as a part of that meal, she had burned the toast. And she apologized for that, said, "I'm sorry I burned the toast." And he said, "That's all right." Kind of a little wink, said, "I love burnt toast." And the little girl was watching this. And later on that night, as she saw that he had eaten the toast and had said that, she thought that was so odd. And he was tucking her in bed and giving her a kiss and good night. And she said, "Daddy, I want to ask you something." He said, "Well, go ahead and ask." She said, "Do you really love burnt toast?" And he said, "No, honey, you know, it's not really about the toast, but your mom had a hard day at work. She had worked all day, and she came in, and she fixed something for us to eat. And the toast got a little darker than she wanted it to get, but I didn't want her to feel bad about it. And I appreciated the effort she had made in cooking us supper, and I did not want to be critical of her effort. I wanted to be thankful for it." You know, the attitude we have in Thanksgiving, it carries with us throughout the entire year. How do we relate to the people around us? How do our children see us relating in our attitude of Thanksgiving? Are we humble? Are we grateful? Are we generous? Do we have an attitude that says, "I'm not going to be just critical and judgmental of everything, but I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be joyful." You see, how do you handle the burnt toast that life gives you? How do you handle the problems that come your way? Do you get negative and critical with them? Or do you find thanksgiving even in the midst of the struggles? And does your attitude cause you to give thanks throughout life? This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you want to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life and come back to the church, to the Lord, come as together we stand. And as we sing.